that takes us up to today's class, which is we're going to talk about the major prophets. And we call them the major prophets. These four are called the major prophets because these guys wrote bigger books than these guys. More important here than here, they just wrote more. This guy is one of my favorites because it almost reads like one of the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah. So let's turn to Isaiah and let's just kind of walk through it really fast. I mean, it's just, there's so much good stuff in Isaiah. It's really one of the Old Testament books that is just a really, there's just great nuggets in there. And you will hear a lot of New Testament brought from Isaiah into the New Testament, and you'll hear there's a lot of good sermon material in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Famous text Kenneth Hagin preached from over and over again. It was one of the texts that he used when he was praying to God, one of the texts that God used when he was speaking to him. He said, you've been obedient, but you haven't been willing. In other words, there are people that are going through all the right motions. You might be the best wife in the world, but man, you're really not willing to be that person. You might be the best usher or the best worshiper or the best this or that. You might be serving in the church in a great way, but your heart's not in it. You're doing the stuff, and you really look good, but your heart really is in a bad spot. And he said, when God showed me that, I made the adjustment right that fast. You can change your heart just like that, can't you? If you haven't forgiven somebody, I just did. Oh, I got unforgiveness in my heart. I forgive that person. Bless them, Lord. It's gone. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. You can make those heart changes. I'm proud. I've got pride in my heart. I'm sorry, Lord. No. I'm sorry. I get pride right out. You know, those kinds of heart changes you can make right away. Obedience. Oh, okay. All right. I'm tithing from here forward. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to have my prayer time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give up this or give up that. When God speaks, man, we got to get it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. There is so much that happens. We got to know. We got to know what's in the Bible. And that's what's so great about you guys taking these classes, because there's just stuff. The devil will take advantage of ignorance. If you don't know your authority, the devil can get you. So we're talking about our authority. We're learning about the name of Jesus. We're learning about the blood of Jesus. We're learning about the power that we have. Chapter 6, verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, Lord, send me. Who shall I send? Well, how about those that are prepared in Bible school? How about those who hear the call and got prepared and got ready? Send us, send us. Send us to Mexico. Send us to the world. Send us to the nations, Lord. Send us to this generation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 7:14, wonderful messianic passage. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin shall bear a child. Jesus had no control over this, but here it is. It's predicted that that's the way he'll come. Chapter 9. 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is this Handel's Messiah? Right? And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from henceforth, forever and ever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off of thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Isaiah 10:27, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make of him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. This is Jesus. Isaiah saw Jesus. Isaiah 14, Isaiah saw the devil. Chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. Lucifer's sin was that he wanted to make himself like or better than God. He was the anointed cherub. Lucifer means light bearer. It has the implication that he was a worship leader or the worship leader. He had a very important role in heaven, and he got out of his place. He tried to exalt himself. He tried to see, wait a second, hey, I can have a role that is not mine. And he was cast out of heaven. He convinced a third of the angels to go with him, and there was a war in heaven. They got thrown down. Isaiah saw it. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26, 3. I love that verse. Tongues. Isaiah saw tongues. 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Tongues is a rest and a refreshing. As Isaiah saw it, Isaiah said it. Isaiah saw John the Baptist. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This story had, Keith Moore wrote a song based on this that we used to sing a lot at Rhema. He wrote this because Keith Moore was teaching three classes a day. Then he was teaching healing school. Then he was traveling on the weekends. He was working his tail off. He was making very little money, and he was working very, very hard. Then when he'd travel on the weekends, he'd make some money. He was just exhausted, physically exhausted. And the Lord said, read the Word. Read the Word more. And so and it's really interesting, when anybody would see Keith Moore in his office, and whenever he had any spare time, he would eat his lunch in his office. He didn't eat his lunch out with everybody else. Doug Jones, who's just a very beloved minister, would always eat with the students and yak it up and chat with everybody. That was his gift. That's what he could do. Keith Moore would sit at his desk, and he would just sit there, just read the Bible. And Keith Moore has just excelled and just done, I mean, he just, we saw him when he didn't own a car to now he has two jets, two churches. He owns two buildings in Branson. He's filling in for Copeland right now on Copeland's TV show. I mean, he's just, the guy's really at the top of his game. The guy's really on top of things. The Word. He just kept putting the Word into him. And he would have his exercise, he would eat right, and he would read the Word, and he really had no other distractions. Real simple, extremely fasted, extremely narrow life. Isaiah 43:25. This is a great passage on prayer. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What did that just say? It says, God says, I will wipe out your transgressions. I will blot them out. You remind me of that and declare it and talk with me about it that you may be justified. That's relationship. That's relationship. That's like saying, son, that's like me saying, I've got a 12-year-old son. Chad, you know I love you. You know you blew it. Come here and talk to me about it. I want relationship. I want counsel with you. I want to deal with you. I don't want you just to say, yeah, Dad, I know that you forgave me. See you. I'm going to go outside. No, I'm saying, come here and let's talk about it. Let's have a relationship. Dad, you forgave me. I'm sorry. Now, Dad, show me what to do. Now, Dad, instead of when we blow it, we don't run from God. We run to God. God, I blew it. I know I blew it. I know I did the wrong thing. Show me what to do in humility. Now, God, what? Okay, how can I do better? We run to God, and there's wisdom, and there's counsel, and there's restoration, and there's setting us on the right track. And sometimes right after we've really messed up is the best time to talk to God. It's the best time to get guidance, the best time to get wisdom, the best time to get on the right track. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll finish this up.